allegiance. So yeah, if you can rise with your hand over your heart facing the flag nearest you or maybe on the screen in your computer, with your hand over your heart, please recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
of America, which it stands,
one nation,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for
all. Thank you very much. Before we take roll call, so let me just read some preliminary comments. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The commission encourages public participation. If you wish to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during public comments, you will be instructed when to join public comments via Zoom. When your phone is unmuted, please begin your comments by stating your name for the record. Each speaker will be given 3 minutes to speak, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. For the commissioners, by now we are all Zoom pros. So please keep your phone on silence unless you're speaking so we don't have the background noise and the feedback that sometimes we get if your microphone is on. Okay, so with that, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Okay, so please answer here when I call your name. Commissioner Andrew Doe.
Here.
Doug Chafee.
Here.
Ken Domer.
Here.
Scott Stiles.
Here.
Paul Wyatt, Sue Parks.
Here.
Tom Casella.
Here.
Randy Black. Richard Afable. Jim Palmer.
Here.
Daniel Young.
Here.
Jack Twan.
Here.
Don Barnes.
Here.
Scott Larson, Marshall Moncrief,
here.
Tita Smith,
here.
Teresa Murphy, Todd Spitzer, Jean Aury,
here.
Matt Bates,
here.
And Chairman, we have a quorum of voting members.
Great, thank you, Madam Clerk. I noticed that in the past, we have always had Richard Sanchez appearing at our meetings as head of healthcare agency. And I'm looking at the list for the membership and I don't see a place for him. But in the future, until we maybe rectify that situation, Jason, can you ask in the future for Dr. Clayton Chow to join us in our meetings?
Yes, I believe he is going to be here just to, at 9:30.
At what? I'm sorry?
At 9:30.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and Chairman, for any of the county staff that are not on as panelists, if there are questions or you'd like them to speak, they are on the attendees and I can unmute them as needed.
And how do we know who is present?
Basically, if there is a question for county staff, I can ask, you know, if that person is on the line to please raise their hand on their screen or to press *9 on their phone, and that will alert me that they are on the call and available.
Okay. In the future, maybe as part of our agenda, if we can have a list of staff who will be present, the commissioners may find it helpful and may prompt some of the questions they may ask.
Okay, yes. I will do that for the next time that if we meet via Zoom, I will make sure to get a list of staff and the numbers they're calling in on before the meeting.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any additional comments on how we proceed in the future with this meeting? Any suggestions? Okay. So that brings us to our first action item, item number 4. Madam Clerk, please read the item into the record.
Okay, so item 4 is to approve the Commission to End Homelessness minutes from the November 20th, 2019 regular meeting. At this time, any members of the public wishing to speak on this item, please press star 9 on your telephone now. And Chairman, I do not have any members of the public wishing to speak on this item.
Perfect. I will take a motion and second from the commissioners.
Lawrence, move the item.
Second from Ken.
Perfect. Any additional comments or questions? If not, Madam Clerk, please take the vote.
Yeah, because this is teleconference, I have to take each vote via roll call. So as I call your name, please say yes or no or abstain. So, Commissioners Andrew Doe.
Aye.
Dan Young.
Yes.
Doug Chafee.
Abstain.
Ken Domer.
Aye.
Scott Stiles.
Yes.
Paul Wyatt. Sue Parks.
If I wasn't there, do I abstain?
If you'd like, or if you've reviewed them and you agree, you can say yes.
Yes, thank you.
Tom Casella.
Yes.
Randy Black. Richard Afable. Jim Palmer.
Yes.
Jack Twan.
Yes.
Don Barnes.
Aye.
Todd Spitzer. Scott Larson. Marshall Moncrief.
Aye.
Tita Smith.
Abstain.
And Teresa Murphy. The motion passes.
Thank you. So we're on to action item number 5. I'll have Valerie read the item first, and then I would like to have some comments before I take comments from the commissioners. Please go ahead, Valerie.
Okay, so item 5 is to ratify the 2020 calendar for Commission to End Homelessness regular meetings. At this time, if any members of the public wish to speak on item 6, please press star 9 on your, item 5. Please press star 9 on your telephone now. And Chairman, I have no members of the public indicating to speak on this item.
Thank you, Valerie. Commissioners, looking at item number 4, it's really jolting to me to think that our last meeting was November of 19, and it's been now 9 months. 9 months is a long time, but it seems like a lifetime ago with COVID-19. Gosh, so many things that we thought could never be supplanted as the biggest issue that we could face turned out to be one more and was supplanted by probably even a bigger issue that affects all of us. On the homelessness front and the healthcare front, we see a complete transformation of really the players involved. And I dare say the philosophy and the approach of the different stakeholders in our healthcare system, namely the healthcare agency and CalOptima, have also changed. As you know, between the healthcare agency being led by Dr. Chow, CalOptima is now being led by Richard Sanchez, and mine OC is still being led by Marshall Moncrief. I would have to say that the approach that we should anticipate that we can see going forward. And then, of course, I'm sorry, Jason Austin is now head of care coordination. We have a completely a new group of leaders. And the part that's really very encouraging to me is how collaborative they are together and how well they are able to work together. And I hope that this commission will be able to take advantage of that synergy and then really take our work to the next level. In the next couple of meetings, I would like by then to have some kind of outline of a proposal to present to you as a point of discussion to see what is our work, how do we approach our task going forward, especially with COVID still is something that we have to deal with for the foreseeable future. To some degree, COVID-19 has really raised the alert in everyone's mind as far as the coordination of service. I think there has never been a clearer message that has come out of this crisis than that in order to move ahead, we all have to work together. So we no longer have to kind of convince people to drag them along. I think they are there naturally with us. So now our challenge going forward is to be very well-defined and very focused and be very task-oriented. And so that's what I'm hoping that we will be able to introduce to you maybe a starting point where we can discuss how we can approach that. So the next two, we really are here on item 5 is to approve the next two meetings that are being set in October and I believe December. Okay, so that's it. That's my opening comments. I open the floor to any commissioners who would like to add to that. Maybe make suggestions to staff as they put together this initial plan.
Commissioner, this is Don Barnes. May I speak?
Yes, please.
Thank you. First, it's nice to see everybody here. It has been quite a while. Before we pass the item, I would just like to point out that the item refers to a calendar that's not accurate. It's prospective. So before we vote, I would offer that the document reflected does not include the dates that did not occur in 2020, the dates in February, April, and June, that we're looking at this prospectively and not so for the, just for the notes that those meetings did not occur. And I agree with you, Chairman Doe, that we have been kind of thrown a loop through all of 2020 because of the issues we faced. And with COVID, the one population that was definitely impacted by this is, in addition to everybody, has been specifically the homeless population. And I would suggest as we go forward, and perhaps for the October meeting, if it's not covered today, that we hear outcomes of the outreach effort that took place during COVID-19 specific to our homeless population, the strategies that were implemented, and successes or challenges that might have occurred as a result of that. There was an article that was shared with me about New York City and their efforts for hoteling and in the city and the challenges they faced and how they're now moving away from hoteling homeless as a temporary solution because of the challenges that population brought into the community. I'm not saying that's happening here in Orange County, but I think we should have some metrics to measure our success as it's been as it's applied to our COVID-19 strategy specific to the homeless population as an intermediary solution. And if that's not, if this isn't the appropriate time to make that recommendation, I don't know when that might be, perhaps during commissioner comments, but you did bring up the topic. So if not now, then I would defer my recommendation to the commissioner comments portion.
Your comments are very well taken, Sheriff, and I think anytime we bring up suggestion is the right time. I think you're right, the ratifying part is really on the far as I see, for the upcoming meetings. That's probably to give the public notice of what's coming up. As far as past meetings, I really don't have a clear recollection. Other than the April meeting, did we actually have all the other meetings?
Yeah.
If not, then why don't we strike all of the past dates on the calendar and just strike that and right now approve the meetings for October and December. Make it clear. So that I would move that motion, that item with that in mind.
I'll second it. This is Marcus.
Jason, will you be able to report somewhat on the request later after this item on what Sheriff Barnes just asked for?
Yes, I have a PowerPoint plan that's going to review a lot of that data.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. So then on item five, there's a motion and a second. Any questions, any comments? Okay, Madam Clerk, please second roll call, roll vote.
Please say yes, no, or abstain when I call your name. So Commissioners Andrew Doe?
Aye.
Dan Young?
Yes.
Doug Chafee?
Aye.
Ken Domer?
Yes.
Scott Stiles?
Yes.
Paul Wyatt? Sue Parks?
Yes.
Tom Casella?
Yes.
Randy Black? Richard Afable? Jim Palmer?
Yes.
Jack Twan?
Yes.
Don Barnes?
Yes.
Todd Spitzer? Scott Larson? Marshall Moncrief?
Aye.
Tita Smith?
Yes.
Teresa Murphy? The motion passes.
Thank you. Before I move to discussion item six, Valerie, can you add one more request to attend our meeting, which is Richard Sanchez, Cal Optima?
Yes.
He's always been with us, so we just kind of didn't even think about it, but that would be great if Cal Optima could be a part of this discussion as well. Okay, so item number six, please read the item, Valerie.
Okay, item six is the Commission to End Homelessness update. At this time, any members of the public wishing to speak on item six, please press star 9 on your telephone now. Chairman, we have two members of the public wishing to speak on this item.
Okay, please call on the speakers now.
Okay, so speaker with phone number last four numbers 244. I'm going to unmute you now and please begin your comments. Okay, I'm attempting to unmute them now. Hold on. Speaker with telephone number ending in 244, try pressing star 6 on your telephone. There you go. Please begin your comment.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering when star 6 came into play. Good morning. My name is Pat Davis. I live in Anaheim, and I do appreciate the thoroughness of Mr. Austin's report this morning. He has a challenging job, and as the chair mentioned, it appears that COVID did bump up the response that our county is moving forward with. As I look at the report and working with many of those impacted on the street and in shelters and in the different aspects of Project Room Key, I must again ask that we look at some way that service providers are held to some higher standard of measurement and oversight. I do see that the updated standard of care is in the settlement agreement, and let's hope that that does help. The other piece of this, of course, are all the folks that have been dying on the street, and that rate of death has doubled during the COVID crisis. And unfortunately, most of those services, and I know Sheriff Barnes mentioned the need to include those, what we see is they're often from an enforcement approach. Some cities have handled it better, but it's still where folks are heading off to. In terms of Project Room Key, it was sad to see how slow that took to kick in, and I do still hear and often find that the lockdown nature of those environments, while some part needed for health issues, it's still very challenging and destructive to those of us who would have difficulty living in that level of confinement. They're not jails. As I look at the outcomes, it appears that less than 10% move to any sort of increased housing stability, and I would wonder what that looks like and hope to hear more about next steps to actual permanent housing. I do think that Tool Belt gives a lot of people hope. I do hope that the resources are there and what the approach will be taken by different providers who decide who measures up to that piece. And finally, HomeKey, I'm excited to see the three apps. Unfortunately, those are very low in proportion to those who are unhoused and the housing insecure. And when I look at the strategy, housing should be foremost, primary. Anything this group can do to possibly investigate a housing bond, push cities in meeting their arena goals. And I'm quite saddened that Community Corrections appears to be an equal partner. And I know you spoke of it as the third leg of the program to serve our homeless, but I do think that a corrections approach with any level of evenness to the others concerns me. Sorry to go on, but thank you and good luck with the work ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And so now, speaker with telephone number ending in 892, if you press *6 on your phone.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. This is Tim Johnson. I'm a resident of Santa Ana. And first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for all the work that you're doing within our county, especially for those who are struggling with finding stable place to stay each night. Despite your efforts and efforts of many others, we still need to do more, though. I look forward to hearing Director Austin's presentation, but I specifically would like to address the Yale Transitional Shelter that's part of his presentation. As you know, that Yale is to replace the courtyard, which is also located in Santa Ana, and it appears from Director Austin's slide deck that it may also be replacing the former Santa Ana Armory winter location, the alternative location now that's open 24/7. Unfortunately, Santa Ana is the only city in central SPA that has a county-funded shelter. This should not be the case. Other cities need to step up in the central SPA and then also make progress in the southern SPA. I have submitted written comments yesterday, which hopefully you've had an opportunity to review, but specifically I'm optimistic that your commission, working alongside cities and other leaders, can make some worthwhile changes to Yale, including reducing the occupancy from 425 down to 200 or fewer. As you know, the courtyard is housing below 200 right now. COVID-19 has necessitated this change in order to increase safety for the residents there, which is a good thing, but we need to do more. However, there is no reason that we should not carry over this decrease to Yale and make it permanent. COVID has shown us that people need space, even vulnerable populations who often do not have a voice. Now, hopefully you can permanently reduce occupancy at Yale, but there is still need for additional beds. This is where other cities such as Westminster, Garden Grove, Fountain Valley, and Huntington Beach, and our other neighbors in the central SPA come into play. They currently do not have a county-funded emergency shelter. City of Santa Ana should not be the sole site for central SPA's homeless needs. Some of our central SPA neighbors do not have any emergency shelter beds. This means that those seeking shelter have no choice but to seek it in Santa Ana, which is not appropriate for the person seeking assistance, nor for our city of Santa Ana. Please consider having partitions in Yale to increase safety and privacy for participants there. This has been utilized at other shelters across the country with success. This likely will be a qualifying use of CARES Act funding, by the way. And as a CPA, I know that funding is always an issue, but I would encourage you to look at use of CARES Act for increasing partition and space at Yale. And further, please provide the board of supervisors and the public the transitional plan that Supervisor Doe called for not quite a year ago now with regards to transitioning residents from the courtyard to Yale. This is very important to the not only the residents of the courtyard, but also residents of the city of Santa Ana.
And your time is up.
All right, thank you very much, and blessings to you all.
All right, Jason, please go ahead.
Hang on just a moment. While the public speakers were speaking, we have two more individuals that have indicated that they would like to speak, but it was after we already started public comments for this item. So, Chairman, I wanted to let you know and see if you wanted to take those public comments at this time.
We did not articulate a policy ahead of time, so I will take the two speakers now. But going forward, we will apply the same policy that we use at the Board of Supervisors meeting, which is at the commencement of any public speakers on an item, we close the period for taking requests.
Okay, so at this time, individual, his name is Steve McNally. I've unmuted you, so if you're on your phone, you can hit *6.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you for unmuting me. Honorable Supervisor Doe and the remainder of the Commission to End Homelessness. I'm really glad you brought up the importance of collaboration between those three players. And I guess we should add in the sheriff, because that's going to be a large source of housing or beds in the future. My comment was not so much about what's going on in Jason's presentation, but to memo in the count of the city shelters, to memo in who owns what territory. Does Cal Optima own city shelters and county shelters, or does the health care agency own that? Or who owns the streets? Or does Cal Optima have the emergency teams on the street? Some of that's unclear to me. Who owns physical health and mental health of the people in the different continuum of care locations? And I still think we have a difficulty, as everyone probably in the country has, as a continuum of care that can easily move people from street to shelter to something else. And I think Jason can confirm this, is whether board and cares can be included in Project Home Key, which I think is, the applications are done, but I just wanted to confirm whether board and cares could be included, because Los Angeles made a big push, and the last I heard, I thought was $300 million, rather than $500 million from Governor Newsom. And the last thing would be just to align when we pull mental health money or substance abuse money, if we align those budgets back to how many people were reported. I think 1,600 was the total mental health count, sheltered and unsheltered. We might find if we were targeting those specific people, if we could, or if everybody we touched on the street with our outreach teams, we identified a plan and ensured that they were in the, I think it's the CES system, or whatever the reservation system is. It doesn't appear that the number of people in that system match the number of homeless that we know we can probably touch. So a lot of that's just coordination of services and management of existing support services. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Okay, and the last speaker on this item is Catherine Moore. And so Catherine, if you can press *6 on your phone. All want to talk. Okay, let's see. Unfortunately, I have an error message that says because the Catherine Moore is using an older version of Zoom, it's not allowing her to connect. So I apologize, Ms. Moore. I'm unable to allow you to connect via audio.
So what's the name of the speaker? I'm sorry.
Her name was Catherine Moore.
Okay. Ms. Moore, I'm sorry, we can't hear from you directly. If you can email or send in your comments, I will make sure they are included as part of the minutes of our meeting today. Okay? So with that, no more public speakers, right, Valerie?
No, we do not.
Perfect. Thank you. Jason, go ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Doe. Hello, everyone. I'm Jason Austin. And I am the new director of care coordination for the county and the healthcare agency. And I wanted to take some time at this commission meeting to go over, as Sheriff Warren said, some data about where we've been during the COVID pandemic and some vision about where I think we can move things towards. But before I go into that, I'd like to just give a little bit of background and introduce myself to all of you. I have worked with probably most, if not all of you already, but I wanted to give everyone a sense of my background and to share that so to move things forward in that building of trust and collaboration that everyone, I think, is sharing the idea of and bringing up today. So I have been with the healthcare agency about 18 years. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And as a clinician, I have worked through our behavioral health department over those last 18 years or so. My role has been as a manager, as a director, as a service chief in clinics, in working in all of our behavioral health areas. So I have been a treatment provider or a manager in our children's areas, in our adult mental health areas, in our substance use areas, as well as our prevention and early intervention areas. I've also, in the few years before promoting into this role, I was the division manager of our behavioral health navigation department. And the reason I bring that up as an important factor in what I think makes me a very good person for the time right now is that I understand the importance of how to navigate systems that can be confusing or so large that people don't know where they fit in. Part of my background in the behavioral health system was to design our OC Links information and referral system to help people understand the hundreds of different mental health and substance use programs in the county's behavioral health network, and how to not only understand where they are, but to link to them in as seamless a process as possible. And as we move forward with the idea of vision, as Supervisor Doe was talking about, I see that as a really important background piece that we can use to move things in a direction for our entire homeless system of care as well. The idea of helping people navigate what currently exists in the different programs and service providers and housing opportunities, as you'll see when I present about Project Roomkey, Project Toolbelt, that the importance sometimes is about how we build that trust and how we help people understand what's available to them. I also, in my previous role, I was the healthcare agency's behavioral health homeless coordinator. And so my role was really to collaborate and interact with all the different service providers and agencies. So that included sheriff's department, that included law enforcement, that also included our mental health and substance use providers, that included our homeless providers, and how do we make that link? And my job over the last several years was also to really develop and integrate our behavioral health outreach system into the community. So many of you know them now as the Blue Shirts. And my role over the last several years was to take different smaller outreach programs that we had already existing in the county and develop one larger system that could really make an impact. And I think for anyone that's really seen the county's outreach system, it has evolved and developed in a way that I don't think anyone could have expected in the amount of impact it's had in coordinating services, responding to the needs of our homeless community, and coordinating with other outreach or service providers that has really brought us all together in a new way. And I really see that as my main vision is, how do we all work together? There's a seat at the table for everybody. And I think the more we communicate and work together, the more we can really, really make an impact on the needs of our community. In my background as a clinician, to share a little bit of my personal life inside, I have one of my children has struggled with mental health issues since actually being a very young child. And in looking at what brings people into these kinds of roles in working in the county or in other service provider areas, coming home and dealing with and interacting with a child that is on the floor crying and struggling with wanting to live and to be able to link them to services, even as someone with a background that understands the system and how to connect to services, that's what I think I bring to the table, is my ability to empathize and to understand people's journeys and where they've been and how important it is to work together to develop new ideas and be innovative and to move things forward in a way that maybe we haven't thought of in the past. So I think as we start moving into our slide deck, we can really talk about how we've been asked to do in the last 4 months. I've been in this position 4 months now, and it feels like 100 years, which I'm sure a lot of people share that that feeling, and as we all deal with COVID. We have brought up and implemented a series of programs that I think really have taken advantage of a lot of my background and experience of being the care coordinator as well as someone managing our homeless system and response, because the care is as important as the coordination. And I think as someone that understands the importance of outreach and being on the streets and having our blue shirt staff engaging on projects like the riverbed, I spent 4 solid weeks, 7 days a week, 14 hours a day on engaging and working with the individuals on the riverbed, working with our sheriff's department, our public works department, having the support of our incredible board in managing a very difficult situation, but using the principles of respect and dignity, that process was looked at nationally as something that was a difficult undertaking, but that worked out in a way that responded to the individual needs of every single person. And I think that's where we are now, is we need to look at the needs of everyone. And that includes individuals experiencing homelessness. It includes families experiencing homelessness, but it also includes stakeholders. It includes all of you. It includes the neighborhoods where we try to site motels or shelters or programs. And I understand the importance of being a good neighbor in whatever we do, because that's how we build. We start with a building of a sense of trust, and then we take that and show that we care about not just the people we're advocating for, but the neighbors, the community members, the people all around, and we bring everyone to the table. So that's me in a nutshell. What I'd like to do is move into talking about our response to COVID, then I'll get into projects RoomKey, Tool Belt, and HomeKey. So I'm gonna move to the next slide. So as the EOC was activated and we wound up coming into a situation that I don't think anyone could have expected, the Department of Care Coordination in our office was asked to quickly respond to a variety of needs based on COVID. And so to start with, we were asked to move the existing armory sites in Santa Ana and in Fullerton with 3 days' notice from the armory locations that we've usually used for our cold weather sites to other locations. So our staff, we had to jump in, identify other locations, negotiate leases, and move people in a 3-day period. And so the new sites operated seamlessly, and it was an amazing opportunity to really look at that sense of collaboration and how do we reach out and find sites. The city of Fullerton was a fantastic partner. The city of Santa Ana, the Salvation Army was able to provide a store that wasn't being used at the time. And to be able to bring up new sites so quickly really is a testament to all of us to be able to work on an immediate project for those that are the most vulnerable. From there, we focused on the needs of our existing county operated and other shelters in our continuum of care. We had to go out and engage all of our shelter service providers to connect our public health department with care coordination and our shelter providers to help them understand really a lot of the issues, which were very confusing in dealing with not only COVID overall, but how do we continue providing congregate shelter sites while we're looking at social distancing, while we're looking at the needs of individuals being screened for symptoms as we started to have a better understanding of what to look for and how to engage people to identify who needs to be isolated right away, who needs to maybe find a different level of care, and how do we connect all the other different providers. The Office of Care Coordination has also done a lot of technical assistance. Our focus was on helping people understand how to respond and keep operations. There's a lot of fear related to COVID. There's a lot of stigma attached to not only our homeless community, but those with mental health substance use issues and anyone with any kind of symptom related to COVID. And so our job is to help provide as much information as possible and to support those serving our homeless community so that they can keep the doors open and keep things happening. So we worked with public health. We worked with all of our shelter providers to engage and to help people really get a sense of how can we keep providing services? How can we understand COVID as much as we have information at the time and to engage those individuals in the shelters? We also worked to provide PPE to all the sites through the EOC, the AOC, and to make sure that people had what they needed as they were providing services. We, as we were working on coming up with our overall response, we were identifying needs and gaps as we were working. We weren't just building the plane as we were flying it. We were flying ourselves at the same time. We identified that we have many amazing homeless service providers throughout the county. And as we brought up our Project Roomkey program, which I'll get to in a minute as far as the criteria and eligibility, we also saw that there were other needs for families and for individuals that motel housing would be an appropriate response. And so we worked with our continuum of care funding, and we have been able to work with our homeless providers to develop a system where they were going to motel house a family in need, that they could submit those the bills from the invoices for that and be reimbursed through our COC funding. And so we have allocated $1.3 million to be made available to the continuum for those kinds of motel housing opportunities. And as of this week, we have 53 unsheltered families, 145 individual households, for a total of 198 rooms so far have been accessed through that response. And so that has been a real, again, a testament to people coming together and working together to come up with immediate solutions for the people most vulnerable and most in need. So we can go to the next slide. So Project Roomkey. As we started to develop our response to what is going to be the best response for our county, at the same time, the state and the governor also responded with Project Roomkey. So at its core, Project Roomkey is funding for all the counties through the state to be able to lease motel sites to provide an opportunity for those individuals who are either on the streets or in shelters who don't have the opportunity to shelter in place to be in compliance with what the recommendations were from the state. And so we had worked with cities and motel owners to identify sites that would meet that criteria for us. So our job, again, when I talk about being a good neighbor, that is something we take very seriously in all aspects. I understand from my background how difficult it can be sometimes, not only to locate or site programs like shelters or homeless service programs, but also mental health or substance use programs as well. And the importance, I think, of working with the stakeholders across the board, so that includes the city management, the local law enforcement jurisdictions, the sheriff's departments, the local business owners. We are really creating a model of how we work together and collaborate to bring up sites that have to be brought up very, very quickly. I know we've gotten a lot of response in the beginning of that sometimes these kinds of programs it took too long or it took a while to bring up, but it's a very complicated process to look at creating something that's really never been done here in this county, and to bring it up in a way that we can hopefully involve as many people as possible in the process, but get a program that's going to work, to be operational, and meet the needs of everybody, not just the participants themselves, but the community at large. So as we were looking at how do we do this, I had really looked at we're going to need a provider to manage these individual sites, because we didn't know at the time, how big or how long these programs were going to go. We contracted with the Illumination Foundation at that point. Illumination Foundation was a good candidate for this because our job was basically to focus on not only a provider that understands the cultural competence of the homeless community, of speaking the language and how to engage individuals experiencing homelessness, which can be difficult in its own, but that idea of respect and dignity is important in all that we do, especially in trying to provide a service to those individuals experiencing homelessness, but also a medical component. So these sites are going to require some sense of medical service for engaging individuals needing screening once they're at the site, as well as determining levels of care if people were exhibiting symptoms. So Illumination Foundation was a good partner for that. So we brought them on board to manage our sites. So at this point, we have developed two different kinds of sites in our Project Green Key. We have two motels, one in Orange and one in Laguna Hills, whose sole focus is individuals who are sick, symptomatic, or COVID positive. And so their job is to look at any individual needing definite isolation for recovery. And then we have our other sites, as you see on the slide, Fullerton, Anaheim, Stanton, Huntington Beach, and Laguna Hills, so that their job is to engage the vulnerable population within our homeless community. And that definition came from the state, as vulnerable means any homeless individual who is age 65 or older, or who is experiencing medical issues that could be exacerbated or make them more at risk. So our job has been, how do we then make this operation something that can engage individuals who are either in shelters and congregate living sites or on the streets? So our initial response included referrals solely from law enforcement, hospitals, outreach providers, and shelter providers. And so within the first week, we engaged all the shelter providers in our system and looked at who meets that vulnerable definition and transitioned them to our first set of motels. At the same time, anyone who was sick or symptomatic, we would then use our other sites for. And so that process, within the first week of operations, we saw and found an immediate gap. The gap was, what about people on the streets who aren't engaging with any of those referral sites, that aren't connected to an outreach provider, that aren't coming through a hospital? How do we engage them in a way that they can be screened immediately as well? So we developed a Project Room Key hotline that we operate here out of our Office of Care Coordination Department. And that's been open Monday through Friday, and basically 9 to 5, 8:30 to 5. And we have been working with callers directly from the streets who are looking at either to be screened for one of the room key sites or for other kinds of services. And what's been really amazing about that is not only did it help us get people off the streets who met that criteria, but it helped us engage other folks that maybe weren't engaging in other kinds of systems that we already have in place. And this was our chance to really help people link to other kinds of services. So we are looking at, how do we connect you to CalOptima for physical health? How do we connect you to social services for benefits and entitlements? How do we connect you to other kinds of services, as well as housing, that can continue people's housing journey? And so I use the term making lemonade out of lemons probably 50 times a day now. This has been our opportunity to be truly innovative and creative, to engage populations of folks that maybe are ready for next step and services, or maybe it's about starting to build that trust and to build that discussion in a safe way that people feel like they are ready for. My background in outreach and working on the streets really has been very important in how we not only operate these programs, but how we connect to the end user, the client here. I think that as we worked with Illumination Foundation and worked on these motel sites, what has been really important, based on our riverbed experience in moving 792 people into motels, is I personally really learned a lot from that experience and brought that those key points to what we are developing here in being a good operator of program, but also a good neighbor in what we are operating in cities. So these sites are not, as you hear, maybe a lot of people talk about motel vouchers. These are not motel vouchers. These are programs. They are temporary isolation sites for individuals needing a place to isolate and shelter. So as we bring these sites up and as we bring people in, there's a very strong user agreement attached to all of these programs that we have to be able to operate the sites in a way that focuses solely on our main goal, which is to provide a safe place for vulnerable individuals or sick or symptomatic individuals to isolate for whatever that time period is going to be. And I know that we have heard from the first one of the public comment individuals that some of the sites maybe have gotten complaints along those lines, but our job is to keep these sites in operation in a way that's going to be able to work. And I think that we've been able to do that. My job in kind of overseeing and designing these programs also includes communication with all of the stakeholders. So I talk to every city, every law enforcement agency, every whoever I'm working with within the city where these motels are every week. I give them updated data. I ask if there's any issues or problems that we should be aware of, because our job is to make these sites operational. And to bring up motel sites, as we did in the riverbed, was a very difficult process, because managing sites with people coming and going requires a tremendous amount of staffing, and it's difficult. And so these sites do not allow walk-ups. You have to be referred in, you have to be screened, and then this is a shared operation. We ask that anyone using the program, we're all in this together. And to make this work, we have to have a level of cooperation based on that user agreement and how we choose to operate these programs. Project Roomkey itself was basically the idea of the funding and how to look at who meets criteria for these programs. After that, it's up to us to decide as a county how we operate these sites. And this has been a collaboration from board members all the way to city jurisdictions. And it includes the participants, the cities, the motel owners. We are all literally in this together to make these sites work, and they have worked very well considering the number of people that we are providing services to. So if you look at this slide, it gives you a sense of the total capacity per site of each of the motels and the number of room capacities that we have overall. So this just gives you a sense of our overall outcomes. It gives you the number of hotel motel rooms that we have available, the total number of people, the short-term sites, the sites for people sick, symptomatic, or COVID positive. Some people come in just for a few days until they're cleared. Some people come in for a week or two based on their symptoms and working with our medical staff at IF. And so the numbers have been quite good as far as rotating people in and out and then transitioning to other opportunities. And then we have the number of people that we've been able to transition to other housing options. The thing with the vulnerable sites is...
Can I just add something real quick before you move over on from Roomkey? Really appreciate your work in identifying locations outside of Santa Ana. We see all of these cities stepping up, providing capacity, and I want to really applaud those cities as well. And I know one of the previous speakers, I hope he looking at, he sees what we see here on the screen and understand that we at the county do all we can to try to spread the capacity throughout Orange County and not concentrate in only a few cities in our county.
Absolutely.
So thank you for doing that, Jason.
If you look at the map of where these sites are, my real goal in determining, especially with the first several sites, is I had some criteria. We were looking at locations close to hospitals originally because we weren't really sure where we were going with COVID in general. But it was also about how do we engage cities that maybe don't have a lot of other things. So if you are bringing up a shelter or if you're bringing up other services, I would never put more than one site in one city as far as the motels themselves. But it's also about, as Supervisor Doe said and as other speakers have said, this is an opportunity to really widen our overall scope and how we all work together. And it may not be a call from me as we're starting to reach out and look at other sites or talking about, we're thinking about a motel site in your city. You may not be super excited at the beginning, but as we work through it and as these sites have been operation for several months, I think you could talk to all of our city representation, law enforcement representation, the sheriffs. Chief Casella is one of our here on the commission. I talk to him every week and give him updates. And I just want to make sure there's an exact flow. You know exactly who to talk to if there's a problem. You know exactly who to talk to if you have questions so that we can eliminate maybe miscommunications. And so this is a 24/7 operation, and it is required 24/7 of me and my team to make sure that we are operating these sites with our contractor as a collaboration with the cities and everyone else that are attached to it. We can go to the next slide. So as we bring up our Project Room Key sites, we really need to think from day one, okay, we're not sure how long this funding is going to last. We can't provide these motels in these kinds of programs forever. What do we do for discharge? So as we bring people in, the funding and the concept of Project Room Key came from the state, which was fantastic, but it really was up to us to come up with an idea of what's going to be our next step. What do we do? This is, an amazing opportunity to engage people that maybe we haven't been able to connect to in the past. And it's not about people being service resistant or not wanting what we're offering them. It's about providing a flow and a journey that meets people where they are. And again, that's kind of the outreach person in me talking, but we need to find next steps so that we don't just ramp down all these motel sites with hundreds of people and then just transition people back to the streets. Nobody wants to see that. And this is our opportunity to find a next step that could be really innovative. So we came up with our Project Tool Belt program. So in an essence, this is looking at every tool, every housing tool in our tool belt, and how do we use what already exists to be able to provide a next step to engage people that we haven't connected to in the past so that anyone who came into our motel program has a place to go to continue their journey that doesn't involve the street if that's not what they want to do. So again, let me be very clear. People get to make their own choices in life. You all do, I do, and people experiencing homelessness get to do that too. So we get a lot of, sometimes people say, well, you offered them a shelter bed. They should just take that. Why don't they? And that's a complicated question to answer. But what we've been able to do with Project Toolbot is look at housing options that really meet people maybe in a different place. And so what we've done is brought in housing service providers that are experts in their SPA, their service planning area, so that they are aware of what's available. So when I say housing tool in the tool belt, this is about room and boards, room for rent, sober living homes, recovery residences, or maybe people are already further along in our coordinated entry system and they maybe have a voucher of some kind already attached to them, or they're really close. And so our providers are coming in and engaging every person in the motels, if they are agreeable to it, and then doing a housing assessment immediately, and then taking them to that next step. And so they're looking at what can we do to get you to a housing option? Could that be returning to family? Could that be finding a place with a room for rent? But at the same time, looking at how do we make this sustainable so that at the end of, say, December 30th, when our CARES Act dollars are ended, people can then either sustain that housing option or work with our providers intensively along the next few months so that they can do that next step and maybe get into a supportive housing opportunity or a permanent housing option. So let's go to the next slide.
Jason, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Before you move on, back to the last slide, these are all great tools. How do you maintain data? Like what data system are you using to keep track of all these services?
So all services are entered into HMIS. We also work with our providers. What's nice is as we work with providers that we negotiate contracts with, from Illumination Foundation to the providers we're working with in South, Central, and North, And to give you a sense of the providers we're using, for South, we have Friendship Shelter and Mercy House. And for Central and North, we have CityNet and Pathways of Hope. And so they not only enter information into our HMIS system, but they also provide us daily updates. I'm a data guy. And so everything we do has to be, there have to be outcomes that are data driven. And so we get every single day information about progress on numbers. I think we're at 574 assessments completed already in the motels. This is our third week of operation. And I believe we already have 10 people linked to a housing option while they're doing the assessments. That's amazing. This is an opportunity to take what we have in our situation right now, not only with the COVID pandemic, but the funding opportunities that are coming through from the state, and move things in a direction that maybe we hadn't been able to in the past. And as we move after I'm done the data portion of this, and we talk more vision, this is our chance to look at our system and to think about how do we make things, push things in a direction that we haven't been able to go in the past based on what already exists. We don't have the opportunity maybe to rework and remake the entire world and our entire system, but we reorganize and navigate things in a way that can really make sense and impact people in a completely different, innovative, creative, and respectful way that takes people to that next step.
Why haven't we been able to do this with our HMIS system in the past?
Well, I think a lot of these systems already exist, but it's about bringing people together and to really look at innovative ideas. I think that the data piece, people enter information, we have our coordinated entry system, we have HMIS, but our systems are all fairly new. It's been, you know, several years, but I think it took this, unfortunately, this pandemic to really look at how do we come up with new ideas and navigate our systems. We're working, I didn't mention the United Way, who's been an amazing partner. We're looking at things that we've been putting in place with landlord programs and looking at identifying sites that we can use vouchers at that are already out there in the community. These are pieces that have been we've been building along the way, but we have two things going on right now. One is the pandemic and the funding that comes along with it. And also, I think this is really my opportunity to come in with my background and experience. And I'm an innovator. I like to think of new ideas and how to use what we have in a different way. And I am hopefully communicating that to the commission today and the idea of what we can do all together to move things forward that can really impact people's lives.
Thank you, Jason.
Sure. Okay, so we're gonna move on to Project Homekey. And just to be clear, the Project Toolbelt is our county program that doesn't exist as a state-focused program. I kept the project title because everybody seems to be adding that name onto things. But HomeKey itself, again, came from the state as almost like the next phase for Project RoomKey. I think that our Tool Belt project fits so beautifully in between. It makes a continuum of services that allows us to bring everybody to the table. But HomeKey itself, again, is funding that has been made available across the state. The overall dollars, you can see, 645, has been made available, but to really focus in so that people understand, that's not the amount available to us. All the counties throughout the state were allocated into specific regions, and our region includes Imperial, Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura, and Orange County. And within that, we are actively applying for the funding competitively in a rolling basis. And so that means of that $55 million for projects and $5 million for services, we're in competition with those other four counties. And so the way this worked is you've got two tiers of projects you can apply for. Tier one projects are projects that can be ready to roll within 90 days as an interim site to be able to and to show that we can house people. That doesn't mean that they have to be PSH units within 90 days. It means that there has to be people living in the sites in whatever interim program we design as part of the application. And we are in competition with the other counties for that much, much smaller amount of dollars. So we can go to the next slide. So August 13th was our cutoff for Tier 1 projects. And I have to say, when we talk about collaboration, this has been an amazing collaboration, both internally with the county, between the board, between OCCR, CEO's office, HCA, our department, as well as cities. This has been a fast turnaround project. So the overarching HomeKey process has been around the beginning of July, HomeKey came out with not a lot of definitive guidance about what was going to be involved. But our team, we called ourselves the Kitchenettes because for those of you in the development area, sites with kitchenettes are much more positive sites to be able to be transitioned and developed into PSH units. So our team really worked on putting out an RFI to get an idea if there were already projects that were either already in motion, there were developers with projects that they already had site control on, so that we could move these projects forward in our applications. So August 13th was the big day. Basically, all the projects that don't get in under that August 13th deadline become Tier 2, which then the funding just, it's whatever's left at that point. So our goal was to really try to get at least one or two applications in, and we were able to get three applications in. This was not an easy process because not only did we have to identify sites with site control, developers attached, possible providers for the interim use, but we also had to be able to attach match dollars for the development and the transition, but also for the operations. And the applications required match dollars and operations dollars for 5 years. So whether it took 5 years or not to transition and develop these sites into PSH, we had to demonstrate that we had 5 years of operational dollars attached for every project. And so it was definitely a lot of collaboration with developers, cities, our own team. And the three applications are in, and we expect to hear sometime over the next couple of weeks where we are. And I do have to say the state, we had to do certain technical assistance phone calls with them and then follow up with any questions. They were actually really great partners in helping us put these applications in. Even when there was more of a, this is what we are planning to do, they were open to that and said that we could still allocate a certain number of points based on that. So at this point, the three applications are in and we are waiting to hear where we are with them. Go to the next slide. So looking ahead. So this is our chance to talk. I think this is my first meeting as the Director of Care Coordination with the Commission. I'm very excited to work with all of you. For those of you who already have worked with me, I think my reputation is someone who likes to collaborate, and I have no agenda personally other than my job is to help people. My background, both my family life and my work as a clinician and working in behavioral health and as a homeless coordinator, has been our job is to help people get to their next step to better their lives. And my vision for taking things to the next step overall in our department is about how do we look at what currently exists. I'm the guy that brought up OC Links. I understand the importance of navigating and understanding a system, and you can't fix or fill gaps until you get a sense of what really exists, both public and private. So I would put out there to our group and to everyone that if we're looking at next steps, I see the importance of mapping our system and working with all of our providers in helping our community understand what exists right now for individuals and families experiencing homelessness and how they navigate it as seamlessly as possible. Sometimes things just really come down to a customer service orientation. How do we pull things together and map our system, figure out our gaps, and help people navigate to get to the next step, so that we're all in this together, we're all working together, and we have a system that people understand, and so that it's honestly just not confusing to them. And so my vision and what I would put out to the commission is, how do we make that happen in a way that's operational, that's not reinventing the entire wheel, but making the wheel roll a little bit more seamless.
Jason, this is Dan Young. Mr. Chair, may I address Jason for a moment?
Yes, please, Dan.
So, Jason, first of all, now I figured out why everybody's saying good things about you. So that was a terrific presentation. If we could go back to that last slide, your looking forward slide, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'd like to propose that I'd like to affect your thinking just a little bit on this. I don't have any disagreement with what you have on that slide. And it at its title, it talks about understanding the gaps. And I think you're dead spot on. Yes, let's get to the gaps. Where are the gaps? What do we need to do, et cetera? But what I'd also ask is that I think you're in a unique position of leadership, along with Marshall and some others, to put together a community-wide navigation system for people in crisis. To just have a navigation system for homelessness is great, and I'm sure you'll make improvements there as we go, but how did I get to be homeless? Was I affected by addiction? Was I affected by mental illness? Did I have physical health issues? I'm on the board of HOGE. I can tell you, we have patients who just go through a terrible process of an injury, an addiction on the street, never would have known. So the roll-up of all this is to have a community-wide navigation system. And while I wouldn't ask you to leave your lane, you got enough to do in making sure that we eradicate homelessness. The fact of the matter is that we can't do that unless we've got a larger collaborative effort around navigation. So because you wear the hat of serving this commission and you are the leader of coordination of care, and you are one of the significant leaders within the health department of the county, you and a few others are in a unique spot, and I'll even call out Sue. Sue is doing over at United Way some amazing things programmatically, and she's now even contemplating systematically. So those are key leaders that ought to come together. I don't know who calls the meeting, but what I would ask is that part of your vision forward include working with others to establish, create an effective, centralized navigation system where people can truly understand it. We have about 18 different places to call if you're in crisis right now, just in mental health, for example. There should be one. So I think people are beginning to recognize that. They're working hard at it. And I just wanted to affect your thinking, maybe even the slide, because this slide guides your organization, guides our work. Can we be part of an overall navigation system for 3.2 million people so that we prevent crisis, we treat crisis before it becomes something as extreme as homelessness? So I wanted to just say that to you and say to you, I'm thrilled to see you in the post here and look forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would actually ask Marshall too to share. I think we're all thinking the same thing. And I think again, when I talk about this is our opportunity, it's definitely a difficult time for all of us, but this is the time. I think that we're all coming together in a nexus that just makes a lot of sense. As you said, this isn't just about organizing one particular service system. This is an opportunity to bring everything together to make it easier for anyone looking for services to connect to it in a way that makes them feel respected, to make them feel a sense of compassion in what's available to them instead of having a bad customer experience no matter what they're looking for.
Can I also set the stage a little bit. Jason reports to the commission, obviously, on the issue of homelessness, because that's what this commission is about. But in Jason's capacity as Director of Care Coordination, his task, his mission is actually broader than just homelessness. And the reason that I call the position care coordination as opposed to in the past, back then, 3-4 years ago, naturally a lot of people were called homeless czar, and I chose not to use that term because I anticipated at some point we will need to coordinate our data integration and navigation to go beyond just homelessness, to touch on what the vice chair just mentioned. And so Jason, with director and vice chair Dan Young's comment in mind, at some point, if you can speak with the other stakeholders on that data integration piece on the wider system than just homelessness, and then present to this commission your view and maybe an update on what where we are in the county in terms of data integration and navigation, coming from the perspective of care coordination and not just from the commission to end homelessness perspective.
Yeah.
I think that would address a lot of the vice chair comments, because I think that's where Dan was headed in terms of all of these things that we are doing are touching on other issues other than just homelessness, but they contribute to homelessness.
I think we've already started having these discussions. I think it's something that makes a lot of sense to me coming from my vantage point. And I think as Supervisor Doe said, I'm the director of care coordination, and that really does involve a lot of other things. And I bring a lot of that with me into this role. And I'm an idea guy. And I think this is an amazing opportunity to really, really look at, as everyone is saying, how do we look at the bigger picture now? Even though it's a tough time, this is our opportunity to take things to that next step. I think there's things going on with that, people experiencing mental health crises and a one-stop number that BeWell and Mind2C are really starting to have discussions about. And this is our chance, again, to bring everyone in so that we don't have competing projects or lots of great ideas. This is a chance to bring it all together to the benefit of everyone in this county.
Great, thank you. Any other comments from any commissioners?
Well, I just want to add from my perspective that, Jason, we're so thrilled you're in the role, and thank you for the presentation. And Dan, thanks for the kind comments. We are in, Jason, in any way that we can help. We are also concerned about the newly vulnerable that's going on in the community, obviously, with the economic hits that many people have. So there's a big opportunity for us to work together, and we're excited about it. So thank you.
Chairman Doe, Marshall Moncrief,
yes.
If I can make a
yes,
comment.
Yes, Marshall.
Just echoing the comments so far, I'm just tremendously encouraged by all of this. Jason, thank you for the presentation. I was jotting down some notes, and as you were sharing about yourself personally, what came up was empathy, dignity, and trust. And as you were talking professionally and all the work that you've done, particularly in very difficult moments like the riverbeds and now COVID, the words I was jotting down were collaboration, action, and results. And I'm just tremendously excited to have you in this role. Look very much forward to partnering with you. And I'm also really inspired by this meeting and the direction that we're taking and looking at a macro level. And so unifying efforts, unifying services to ultimately unify a system, and this is our opportunity. And so we're right there with you. Appreciate all of this very much. But if this commission could be a body of champions for unifying, holding each other accountable and all activities to bring together, that will be worthwhile work. And I think in line with Mr. McNally's comments about a seamless continuum of care. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Jason, and to everybody.
Any other comments? Great, thank you, Jason. Great work. So at this time, we will take general public comments. Madam Clerk, do we have any requests to speak?
So if there are any members of the public that would wish to speak during general public comments, please press star 9 on your telephone now. And right now I have one request from a member of the public to speak. So caller on-
the speaker, Valerie, I just yes. want to let the public know that once the public members start to speak, we're not taking any more requests. So this is the time.
Yeah, and so far we still only have one request to speak. So caller with telephone number ending in 892. You should be able to unmute yourself by pressing star 6. Okay, it looks like you're unmuted. Go ahead and start your comments. I believe we can hear you, caller on 892.
Valerie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, Valerie.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, good morning, commissioners. Thank you for your time again. This is Tim Johnson from Santa Ana. Appreciate hearing about the various programs the county is working on from Director Austin. I echo the sentiments of Supervisor Doe and Mr. Young that you're the right person for this position. I'm optimistic about Project Tool Belt and something I'm been hoping for a long time, which it seems like it's turning our housing response similar to what we have in our healthcare system, where we utilize shelters, possibly like an emergency room, where folks receive the immediate and necessary services to rest, recuperate, and recover, similar to a triage in ER, and then move on to more appropriate levels of care. I urge you to keep up with your schedule of meetings. Having almost a year between your last meeting to this meeting is a shame for not only your commission but the public, as well as those who are experiencing homelessness. Further, I hope that we can communicate with the community as to who to call. Mr. Young brings up a great point, and Director Austin, you referenced it also in terms of having a single point of contact. And just 211 is not it, in my opinion. This was highlighted from an experience that myself and my 14-year-old son had this weekend, as he was sitting in a socially distanced Boy Scout Board of Review in a parking lot in Santa Ana when the meeting was abruptly and prolonged, disrupted by someone who was obviously experiencing mental health issues. And I feel that I'm relatively knowledgeable dealing with someone experiencing these issues. And so when I saw this gentleman doing what he was doing, I obviously stepped in and offered to make calls for this gentleman. In the back of my head, I'm going, okay, well, who do I call? Do I call 211? Do I call the CAT team? Do I call the NAMI warm line? Who do I call? And these are the, and again, I feel like I'm relatively experienced. I actually, if he accepts the offer, I'm going to be able to make some calls. But so many people in our community want to help, and they don't know how to help. And so I would hope that you can find a part of the tool belt to where you're communicating with the residents that are in contact with those who are needing help, and to where we know what to do. I appreciate all that everyone is doing, and I look forward to continuing to see how this progresses, and most importantly for everyone's time that you're working for those who so desperately need help, and most importantly those who don't even know that they need the help that is being offered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
And Chairman, we did have one more speaker request that did raise their hand right before the previous speaker started speaking. So caller with phone number ending with 244, you should be able to unmute your phone by pressing star 6.
Good morning. Thank you. I was struggling to get back to my phone screen. This is Pat Davis again. I did want to say thank you to Mr. Austin for his presentation. It does give me hope. I've seen you in other settings. The riverbed feels like forever ago, and the thought that we could pick up the pace And as I look at this group and knowing many of you in this room, this is the body that could make the difference and keep it moving. You know, a meeting 2 months from now, I know there'll be a lot of work in between, but I think that this group with all the other entities feeding into serving our homeless and those soon to be unhoused, there needs to be some step up in coordination. So Jason finds himself in all those settings, and I do hope that we support his efforts creativity-wise and resource-wise and continue to help support him when there are communities who possibly aren't as interested in providing services. So again, thank you. Thank you for your time. And I only missed one other Zoom meeting during this one, but this was well worth the stay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Chairman, we have no further requests to speak.
Perfect. Thank you. Now we move on to commissioners' comments. Any commissioners would like to share any opinions at this time? Senator Wyatt, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. Can you unmute yourself, Paul?
I'm unmuted, but apparently that isn't doing the job.
We've been having this same problem from before, which is your voice is very garbled.
Okay, I'll try again, but I'm not sure it helps. Does it help? No, okay, I will pass. Thank you.
Any other commissioner?
Chairman Dobe, this is Sue Parks.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to share because the supervisors were so gracious to help us start Welcome Home OC, the landlord incentive program that Jason mentioned, and we're, you know, very excited to see how we can help because we share the desire that people move forward from Project Roomkey in a really positive manner. So Jason, I know we're talking soon. But I just thought I'd give you an update. Somebody had asked me to do this on one of the previous meetings. So far in the Landlord Incentive Program, we have housed, so these are folks in apartments getting supportive care, 213 people. And that's in a total of 132 households. So I just thought I'd share that because as we look to end people's homelessness, that's over 200 that has been ended, and it started with the county support. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Sue. Any other comments? If not, we will now adjourn, and our regularly scheduled meeting will be on October 21st, 2020, 9 a.m. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Valerie.
You're welcome. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, I got a different.